Good morning and welcome to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice. I'm WCLK Operations Manager Rob Maynard. This program highlights the ongoing academic goals and achievements of Clark Atlanta University, the largest of the nation's 37 member United Negro College Fund institutions. We're telling the stories of academic excellence and strategic planning happening right now at one of America's great HBCUs. Today on the program, we are talking about the Clark Atlanta University Art Museum, and we're joined by Museum Director Dr. Marita Poole. Dr. Poole, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
How long has the museum been on the CAU campus?
Well, the Clark Atlanta University Art Collection started in 1942, so we are actually in our 75th year. But the museum as we know it now has been present since 1996. It's the renovated museum that was done by my predecessor, Tina Dunkley.
So where on campus is the Clark Atlanta University Museum located?
We are located in Trevor Arnett Hall on the second floor.
So, obviously this is a resource for students at Clark Atlanta University, but are members of the public welcome to come to the CAU Museum?
They are, and in fact, we encourage it very much. While our operational hours are 11 a.m. through 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, a key part of the way we work is that it's also by appointment. So we will come in on the weekend, or we will come outside of those hours if there is someone interested in viewing the exhibitions or works from our permanent collection that currently are not on view.
So as we get a little bit further into the conversation about the museum, it might be if we've got an art teacher listening to our conversation today, do you sometimes entertain classrooms from schools outside of this area?
We absolutely do. And in fact, we often have art teachers come with their students, and we give tours. And we also accommodate scholars, curators, and even just people from the general public who may be in town and who would like to come. All it takes is sending an email to cauartmuseum@gmail.com or calling 404-880-6102 to say that you would like to schedule an appointment outside of hours for your class or your special group to see what we have on view or to see specific works from our permanent collection.
You're listening to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice on WCLK. And this morning, we're talking with Clark Atlanta University Art Museum Director, Dr. Marita Poole. What role does CAU's Art Museum have in terms of the art that you are curating and what you're trying to accomplish with the museum?
Well, Clark Atlanta University is fortunate to have the foremost collection of African-American art from the 1940s to the 1970s because of an event called the Atlanta Annuals that started in 1942, 75 years ago, by Hill Woodruff, the founder of the collection. And what the Atlanta Annuals was, it was a competition where artists of African descent would come to Atlanta to participate in a juried exhibition, and the top three works would become a part of the permanent collection. As a result, a lot of artists who we now view, who people tend to think of them as just standard or what we would call your canonical artists, like Charles White, Romare Bearden, Elizabeth Catlett, Norman Lewis, a lot of them were competing in this exhibition, in this annual competition, and we now have a lot of them, their works in our permanent collection.
So this is a real cultural gem in the city that we're talking about today. Why is it important, and this is an obvious question, we're at an HBCU, but for somebody listening saying, well, why can't they, why is this African-American art? Why can't it be all kinds of art? Could you talk a little bit about the importance of not just the history you just described of keeping and curating African-American art, but why is it important in context of the Black experience in this country for this place to exist the way that it does?
Well, I mean, similar to HBCUs, I mean, the fact the collection is really important in telling a specific history of the fine arts tradition of African-Americans in the sense that it gives you an opportunity to see kind of the creme de la creme of African-American art of the mid-20th century. And while it is focused on that because of its history and its development, it actually is really about artists within the context of American art as well as the global context. The ironic thing about the collection is even though the artists are of African descent, mostly, We also have artists who are not of African descent in the collection, who will be due to donations and gifts that have been given over the years. So we have people like Zhao Qi, the Chinese artist from Beijing, wonderful abstract painting by him, Will Barnett, Isabel Bishop, really key artists of the 20th century, who these artists would have been studying and dialogue with, and who they would have, who were essentially their contemporaries.
How about the role of the Clark Atlanta University Art Museum in the context of the university? What kind of role should it play with the student body in general, and what kind of opportunities are there for students who want to prepare for a career like yours?
Well, it's kind of a complicated question in some respects, and let me explain what I mean by that. The collection is really significant, as I think the visual arts and fine art is important to the development of people getting a liberal arts education, or really an education in general, because when you have the opportunity to come into a space like ours where they can see the finest creative output of 20th century American artists, it gives them the opportunity to think about a broad range of things. And it's really critical to their development holistically in terms of thinking about innovation, creativity. We have artists like Frederick Flemister, who has a piece called Man with a Brush. And it's really kind of a commentary in this piece where he represents himself. It's a self-portrait where he's holding a brush, and he's supposed to be a Renaissance artist. And the kind of like within the lore and the history of the institution, what's critical about it is that it is said that when he had to take chemistry, his professor, he wasn't very interested in the subject. And his professor said, well, how do you think Renaissance artists got their paints and their dyes? So then he created this piece. And it actually made him reflect, because during that time, many of the students were required to kind of create their own paint. So you don't only have to be interested in the humanities, but if you're a student who's interested in chemistry or conservation or anything, this is just something that I think that makes a difference in terms of your development and kind of thinking broadly about the possibilities of who you can be in the world.
And of course, President Johnson's initiatives and the attempts to make sure that Clark Atlanta University offers not just a STEM curriculum, but a STEAM curriculum that incorporates the arts exists because employers want people to be able to think, and absorbing and observing fine art is a way to improve your thinking.
Exactly. And that's incredibly well said. Yes, exactly.
Could you talk a little bit about Tina Dunkley and the Tina Dunkley Fellowship and where that fits into all of this?
Tina Dunkley is a local artist and was the curator and director of the Clark Atlanta University Art Collection up until 2015. I have been in my position since August of 2015. And what she is responsible for is the preservation of the Clark Atlanta University Art Collection. As I briefly mentioned, the collection emerged from this event called the Atlanta Annuals that started in 1942. Where it lasted from 1942 until 1970. And then it went through a period where it was just in the basement and it wasn't shown and it wasn't a part of the curriculum or a part of the university. People really didn't know about it. And Tina Dunkley discovered it while she was a graduate student at Atlanta University. And she decided to make it the focus of her research when she was working under Dr. Richard Long. And ultimately it became a key part of her life's work, preserving that collection and creating a space where the world could appreciate it. So what we've done is we have applied and received a Walton Family and Ford Foundation grant to train a new generation of museum professionals to curate African-American art, really American art, by learning as much as they can about the collection, but also in partnership with the Zuckerman Museum of Art at Kennesaw State University, so they can learn all aspects of the museum profession to determine whether or not they would like to pursue the museum field in the future.
So that's available to undergraduates, graduates? How does that work?
Well, the fellowship is unique in that it's a post-baccalaureate fellowship. What actually tends to happen for people who do not come from elite backgrounds, often they're not exposed to fine art or museums until relatively late. And what we've discovered, particularly at Clark Atlanta University, is that by the time students really develop an interest in fine art and curation, they have passed the point where they can get the training necessary to make them competitive for internships and fellowships. So what the fellowship is, the Tina Dunkley Fellowship in American Art, is a post-baccalaureate fellowship. And what that means is that someone, regardless of the field that they trained in, can apply as long as they are within a few years of graduation from their bachelor's degree or their master's degree. If they have an interest in pursuing a career in the museum profession, whether it is curating or museum education, they can apply to get 2 years of training, and they get a stipend for full-time work in the museum at Clark Atlanta University Art Museum and the Zuckerman Museum of Art at Kennesaw State University.
So if we have someone listening this morning that the light bulb just went off and they're like, that's me, how do they find out more about the Tina Dunkley Fellowship?
Well, we recently received the notice, so we will begin the announcements in about a month. But if they would like, if they really, really are enthusiastic, they can just give me a call at 404-880-6102 or send an email to cauartmuseum@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to share information with them.
You're listening to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice on WCLK. We're talking this morning with Clark Atlanta University Art Museum and Museum Director, Dr. Marita Poole. This is a fascinating gem here on campus, and I think I've went through the museum briefly when I first started at CAU, and now I'm like, I've got to go back. Could you talk a little bit about upcoming exhibitions, upcoming exhibits, you know, what you are putting together for people in the days ahead?
Well, right now we have four exhibitions up. These exhibitions will be up until May 25th, with the exception of America's Pastime, which is an exhibition that centers on the lithographs or prints by Joseph Norman. That one ends December 11th, 2017. And essentially what we have on view this year, the entire gallery is comprised of permanent collection exhibitions. So we also do temporary exhibitions of contemporary artists. But this year, we're trying to highlight the collection because we are in our 75th year, but also we want people to really understand what a gem and treasure we have to offer, not only to the local community, but to the world. You really cannot see this time period for African-American art in this level of depth anywhere in the world. And as a result, people come to us from all over the world to make requests for the works that we have in our permanent collection. We have been thinking through, and when I say we, I mean me and my staff members. There are three of us. That is me, Dr. Marita Poole, my assistant, Diamond Mason, and my special curatorial assistant, Derek Witherspoon, how to re-envision or rethink what we think we know about African-American art from the 1940s to 1960s. And the concept that we were reflecting on was leisure. So we have Leisure Without Luxury, which was curated by Diamond Mason. And in that exhibition, she reflects on how the idea of leisure has been addressed by African Americans, particularly post-slavery to the mid-20th century. And a key component of her exhibition is really thinking through this kind of paradoxical relationship that people sometimes have to leisure when they don't have a lot of money, when they have limited resources. So how can you contemplate leisure when you don't have the basics sometimes? So her show, which was inspired by a painting by Henry Linton, is called Leisure Without Luxury. And it really reflects on just the simple things that people do so that they can have a moment of respite, or so that they can feel as though they're having a luxurious experience, even when they don't necessarily have the resources to travel somewhere overseas or maybe go to some really elaborate vacation or things like that.
Or as Chuck D said, something like 80% of people don't go anywhere.
Exactly. So then what can you do to kind of take the time to care for yourself and make you feel special? And this is the ways that African American artists specifically have kind of reflected upon that experience.
You know, the exhibit that I was glancing at that kind of intrigued me is the Frederick D. Jones Jr. and the Social Surreal, and the idea of using surrealistic painting techniques to depict the African American experience, which at times has been overtly surreal, depending on how you want to look at it. Could you talk a little bit about that exhibit?
Well, this exhibition, which was curated by me with the assistance of Derek Witherspoon, really draws out on another aspect of what we're trying to do that I think is important, which is to conserve the works by artists who are not as well known. We actually are interested in conserving all of the works, but we particularly have a situation where artists like Frederick Jones, who were peers of key artists like Charles White and Elizabeth Catlett or John Biggers, where their work is not in the same condition. But to get to your question specifically, what I find fascinating about Fred Jones, where we have five pieces in our collection, is that in this era when people were mostly creating paintings that they were calling social realist paintings, which were works that were meant to represent the working conditions or the experiences of the working class and the poor, Fred Jones wanted to do something different. And he took an approach that people often describe as the fantastical. When I looked at the works, I thought, well, they're more than just fantastical. Some of these have elements that seem, frankly, surreal. And I thought it would be a good idea to kind of think about them not only as surreal or fantastical, but at that time I was also thinking about it in terms of what I called magical realism or the marvelous real, which comes from literary traditions in Latin America and the Caribbean. But with Derek Witherspoon's help and our research, Derek suggested that we should call it the social surreal. As a result, that's where you get the title. So essentially, it's an exhibition that looks at Frederick D. Jones specifically, but puts him in dialogue with his contemporaries to show his development. So you see him in relation to people like Huey Lee Smith, who's known for these paintings where they have these barren landscapes, and you can kind of get a sense of alienation and isolation that people felt in the country. But Fred does something even more incredible because he's drawing on like the mystical traditions in Christianity. He often will represent women in the pieces that we have, these kind of Madonna-like figures in ways that I think are truly incredible and that people should see. So.
And I'm like, just having glanced at it on a screen, I'm like, well, then I need to get up there. So I need to get up there. And then the other exhibit is Beyond Boundaries. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Beyond Boundaries is actually the beginning of a series that I'm thinking through to kind of expand how we talk about the African-American artistic tradition. I think often when we look at the literature and the scholarship and the type of exhibitions that are created about African-American fine art, that we have a sense of what it's about. But for some reason, and I think it's because people aren't aware of our collection at Clark Atlanta University, they skip this time period from the 1940s to the 1970s. So they talk about the Harlem Renaissance in the 20s. They talk about the beginning of social realism in the 30s. And then they jump to the Black Arts Movement and things like that from the 60s. But we have this period in the middle where people are working and they're really trying to expand their artistic practice. And they're doing it in several ways. Yes.
Concurrent with all of the other artists practicing in that era, too. Because if you go to any big, huge museum somewhere, that era is going to be well represented.
Exactly. And I think what's interesting about Beyond Boundaries is looking at the varied ways that artists are trying to get out of the strictures and the restrictions that are facing them. So because of segregation and the issues facing them, some of them would travel overseas, like, to kind of get exposure. They would go to Mexico or to Haiti or places in the Caribbean so that they could study with other artists, and then they would come back and they would produce these phenomenal works. Other artists didn't want to be perceived as Black artists, so they would create abstractions and whatnot. And then others increasingly over time, because this goes not only from the 40s and 50s, but all the way to the contemporary period, are playing with materials. So really it's kind of thinking about the various ways that artists try to get outside or go move beyond the box. And it's truly incredible to see the variety that exists.
We're talking about the Clark Atlanta University Art Museum this morning. I did want to go back and touch on, because we didn't really give it its due, but the America's Pastime exhibit that closes December 11th. So if you want to see this, you need to come see it pretty soon. But could you talk a little bit about, we're talking about baseball, but not we're not talking about, you know, Norman Rockwell baseball.
No, we're actually talking about the Negro Baseball League, which is truly incredible. And I will be completely transparent. I'm not a sports fan usually, but because of the work by Joseph Norman, I have gained a great interest in baseball, and particularly the Negro Baseball League. And what it is essentially is two volumes of prints that kind of reflect on that time period, which again is within this period that we're specializing in. 40s, 50s, when African Americans couldn't participate in Major League Baseball. And I've been thinking about a lot because now we're dealing with the World Series, and I'm starting to actually watch games because of this exhibition. And I've been thinking about, like, Norman, who kind of describes his work in terms of as poetic realism. So that means you don't get, like, literal images of baseball players holding a bat or things like that. But you get these kind of conceptual pieces that kind of allow you to reflect on kind of the conditions under which African Americans had to, what they had to deal with in order to be a part of this sport in the mid-20th century.
And that's, that exhibition is called America's Pastime, and that's through December 11th at the Clark Atlanta University Art Museum in Trevor Arnett Hall here on campus. Again, we are talking with the CAU Art Museum director, Dr. Marita Poole. Dr. Poole, what caused you to choose art curation and museums as your life's work?
Well, for me, it actually came rather late in life, and that's essentially what led me to think about the Tina Dunkley Fellowship in American Art. I was committed to being an anthropologist, and I really wanted to be a professor. I thought my dream was to, I don't know, be tenure track at some university and to write a lot of books. But what I discovered while I was working down in New Orleans under Daniel Taylor, I was going to look at art a lot. This was the period post-Katrina. Dillard University had not yet recovered from the hurricane. And what I decided to do was to use art and museums to teach anthropological concepts, the concept of culture, and kind of play with the idea of culture as like a fine art tradition, but also something that's like a way of life of everyday people, which you can see reflected in artistic practices and things that we were seeing around town with Prospect One. And Dean Taylor actually drew it to my attention when she said, "I think you really like art." And I was like, "Of course, everybody likes art. I've been seeing art my whole life." And she was like, "No, but everyone doesn't like art like you like art." And it gave me the opportunity to just say, you know what? I do light up when I'm in a gallery. In my spare time, that's where I want to be. Anytime I can go and be around fine art, that's what I do. And as a result, I decided to take a chance and to switch my course at that period when I was just about to finish my dissertation. I still completed my dissertation in anthropology, but I started working in museums and galleries and ultimately started to pursue curating.
So there is one means to an end for you out there if you're kind of figuring out where you're going to go professionally. And certainly the Clark Atlanta University Art Museum and the Tina Dunkley Fellowship is something that might work very well for you. Dr. Poole, if people want to follow up, if they want to come to the museum, if they want to experience this great collection that not everybody knows about, but it's here, it's a hidden gem in many respects, how do they get here? How do they find out more?
Well, it is on the second floor of Trevor Arnett Hall, but for parking, they would have to park in the CAU parking deck. On their GPS, they should type in 191 Mildred Street, Atlanta, Georgia. And from there, they would walk two blocks, make a left at the light, and walk down the promenade. And we're the last building to the right at the end of the promenade.
And I'm sure most anybody on campus could point you in that direction. And the hours, again, that people can come in and see these exhibits?
It's 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, but also by appointment.
There you have it. And if they want to make that appointment, they call who?
404-880-6102. We'd be happy to have them.
Clark Atlanta University Art Museum Director Dr. Marita Poole, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CAU Now, Lifting Every Voice on WCLK. You can listen to this program again on demand at WCLK.com. More information about programs and opportunities for personal and professional growth at Clark Atlanta University is available at cau.edu. On behalf of our guests today, I'm Rob Maynard. This program is produced by Jazz 91.9 WCLK Atlanta in conjunction with CAU Provost Dr. Peter Wosu. WCLK is a proud licensee of Clark Atlanta University.